Hey everyone, I'm Matt.
And I'm Steven.
And you're listening to
Code Talk with Matt and Steven,
where we sit around chatting about code and stuff.
All right, welcome to Code Talk, episode 6. Today we're going to be discussing design patterns. We haven't really talked about any of this prior to right now, so this is going to be pretty off the cuff. That seems to be our model for these things. So
I think so.
Yeah.
We just pick a topic and then we talk about it. It's like we don't do, I don't really do any research or anything like that, so it's just going to be, and it's been a long time since I've actually talked about design patterns. Like, so this will be fun.
Yeah, so let's just start talking. Well, like the one design pattern that's kind of forefront in my mind is because it's something I'm kind of wanting to try and build a talk on to hopefully do at Upstate PHP soon. Actually, I'm supposed to do it this month, but I haven't started on it at all. But it's the pipeline pattern. Have you heard of it? Mm-hmm. Used it?
I guess I have used it. So in Laravel, Laravel Collections has a pipe method. So basically you're just going to keep going down a chain and then you can pipe it to, well, in this case, you would pipe your collection to, you would basically get back your collection in a function and then you can go ahead and just do all kinds of stuff to it and then return it back to collection and continue processing like you would normally. So it's kind of cool. But that's the only, I haven't even looked into it. So that's the only, I think that's the only time I've ever used it.
Yeah, I've only, I mean, I used it in Laravel, actually. It's the API, man, the thing about Taylor and Laravel is the API for everything in, you know, in interacting with the framework is just super simple. It's dead simple. Yeah. But, you know, I've used it more recently and just pretty much just once recently is has been the package from the League of Extraordinary Packages. Mm-hmm. And so they have a pipeline package there. And it was pretty cool. It was a few months back. I needed to do something at work and I needed to call. Like I needed to build something in our app that was going to display in a sidebar that was going to be like different pieces from a CRM. And it was like five different API calls or something like that. And I had this one giant method, you know, that was doing, you know, if this part of it is enabled, if this part's enabled, you know, fetch, do all this, and then it was doing everything. And it just looked ugly. But it was like, how do you break that out, you know, into multiple methods within this class? Should it be its own class? Like, what should we do there? And then a buddy of mine that I work with, David Stanley, we were looking at stuff that he was currently working on, and he was using the pipeline pattern and that same package for some of our billing stuff and all of that. And he said we were running stuff, some things by each other. And then it just like one night I was like, I wonder if I can use that. And so I like, completely like rewrote how I did it and refactored it to pipelines. And what I did was I took each piece of that, you know, each data piece of that sidebar and I made it its own stage, you know? And so then now, there's a pipeline that has those stages, but it also has a pipeline builder inside of it. And so it knows, mm-hmm. it builds its own pipeline, you know, it builds itself. And it knows based on settings, you know, whether it should inject certain stages, whether they've been enabled or not. And so that's been really nice. It made it a lot easier, made it more testable, maintainable. But then what's cool about each stage is we can we cache every API call. But certain ones have actions that we need to perform, and then we would need to refresh that cache. But instead of wasting, you know, if we have to refresh one piece of cache instead of having to waste multiple calls to get something that, you know, hasn't changed, we're caching each individual piece and then just kind of zipping it all together for the front end. So within breaking this out into stages in a pipeline, each one is responsible for checking cache and then fetching new stuff, you know, new mm-hmm. New data from the server, from the API, and then recaching it. And so you could bust cache on one of them, and then now you've got one fresh, you know, result in a stage, but then the other four stages build themselves from cache. And so that made it like super easy because each one, again, was, like I said, broken out in individual. And so we just had this pipeline that was piping, you know, this array, you know, the payload in this case was an array of promises that would be data from this third-party API, but I just made it super easy to handle this. So that's the You know, that's the biggest or the newest one that I've been using lately.
Question about your implementation. So does each stage is like each stage its own class, or is this just more each stage is just another function in the class?
Each so the pipeline, you know, itself is one class, you know. And then each stage is its own class. At least that's how they do it in this package and other packages I've seen or other, you know, examples.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And at least in the PHP or the PHP League package, it's each stage implements a method for invoke. So it's invocable. And mm-hmm. So basically it is just like a giant function, right? It just calls the class as a function. But then because of, you know, dependency injection, you know, constructor injection, all that other stuff, you can do many things within that class, but then you just call it as its function. And then you're able to, it'll pass in, the pipeline will pass in that payload to that point. And then you process it in that, and then you return it, you know, with something new added to the payload.
Nice. Nice. That makes sense. Yeah. Other patterns. What are some other patterns that you use?
Other design patterns. It's God. I'm gonna have to look up my references for what other design patterns there are, right? Like, because sometimes I get confused between design and, you know, architectural patterns.
I still use the repository pattern. It's an oldie but a goodie. I like it a lot. Just, you know, it's a class of, but all my repositories have static functions, because the way I see a repository is a way to, is basically like a function, you know, you're calling it, and or basically like a factory, really. So I use it a lot for models in Laravel. So I just see it as a quick way to put together a, you know, a result set. So, you know, find user or find customer users or something like that. And, you know, you go in and it just does all the query stuff for you without you having to think about it. So, and I do it as a static function. So you would pass in the customer ID or something like that. And it just makes it real nice and simple. And you don't have to dependency inject the model or any of that kind of stuff. You know, it should be really quick and easy. So that's one that I still use. I don't use the command bus pattern anymore. I coded myself out of that one.
Yeah, that's a good pattern, the command pattern.
Yeah, I like it. I think it is a good pattern, but you know, with my work, with what I was doing, I was able to, with repositories, I was actually able to kind of code myself out of the command pattern. And you know, the way I was using command patterns is it did a lot of things like validation and, you know, authentication, and then it would go and possibly call a repository or the model directly, you know, spit out any queues. I mean, it would do a lot of work, actually. The command was great, you know, and then you just call it once, give it the data that it needed, so on and so forth. But I think with Laravel, it's just made it too easy to actually take it out of the loop, you know, because you have things like form requests or different ways to do validation in Laravel with either middleware or, again, the form requests, you know, that they have. So that pretty much handles authentication and validation for all your requests. So, you know, it's like I don't quite need it anymore. And yeah, so it's kept, so my controllers are still nice and lean. My repositories are still nice and lean. I have a place for my validation, you know, and then usually when it goes to authenticating through a form request, I'll actually have probably a separate class that handles that, with the form request just calling, you know, calling that class and, you know, returning a Boolean. So try to think of other stuff that I've used. Always wanted to use chain of responsibility. You ever mess with that one?
Yeah, I've used the chain of responsibility, but it's you know, I don't use it as much anymore now that I've come to find and love the pipeline pattern, because I think the pipeline is the next evolution of, or it's a child of, or it's derived from the chain of responsibility. But I think mm-hmm. it's easier because you have the, you know, there are a few differences. I mean, there are a lot of similarities, but there are a few differences. But the main difference is you have the pipeline, you know, that is controlling what to call You know, whereas the chain of responsibility, you still have to keep updating it and saying, you know, and injecting it, the next stage into the next stage into the next stage. And I think that gets kind of old and it's hard to manage, at least for me. It's hard to keep track of everything. But like, I think you mentioned the factory, right? And, you know, factory is a great one. You know, like there's the builder, singleton, stuff like that. You know, I mean, we use those every day at work. But they're so small and simple, you don't really think of them as patterns, really. At least I don't.
Well, I would assume that I'm using way more patterns than I even know I'm using, right? I just don't know what they are or what they're called. Right. But, you know, well, I think it's funny that...
resource. Dom Nickel has a... I'll put the link in there. On GitHub, they've got a repo, design patterns, PHP. They're PHP-specific examples of the different types of design patterns. I'll post that in here. That's a really great one. I always go back to that one. And they organize. He organizes it too. He, she, they organize it. You know, so that when you go view the repo, you've got like behavioral, creational, structural stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I think collections are a pattern. I think there is a record pattern. I've used that. Which is just
Laravel
basically,
collections. Is that what you're kind of talking about?
Well, no. I mean, I actually think collections are a pattern. Like, you know, Laravel collections are probably implementation of that pattern, you know, to like, you know, taking that pattern and just, you know, making it much more robust, I guess would be the word. The collections are really cool with Laravel. I think they probably have the best implementation of collections. I mean, record patterns are kind of like a model or whatever. It's just having a bunch of data somewhere and you can access it. So, you know, and these are things that you've probably written something in the record pattern and not even know it because you're just like, I just need a place to store all this data and retrieve it. You know, you're like, so I'm going to write a class to store it and retrieve it. So, you know, but you might use, you know, you might use a combination of patterns, right, in a class. So you just,
or not just, necessarily in a class, right? Because each thing fall in the SRP, right? It should be.
Well, you might, like, let's say, for instance, you might actually use the record pattern and a singleton pattern together.
That's
right.
True. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's sometimes where that a combination of patterns might actually work. So.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking through this list of stuff here. I've gotten to the structural, and again, I've never think of these as being stuff that I use like every day. But you know, the registry, there's the Fluent interface, dependency injection, decorator, data mapping, the adapter. You know, I mean, you've got.
That's right. Yeah, decorator, adapter. Yeah.
Adapter. Strategy. You know, strategy and adapter are pretty closely related, I think. You know, and we use those all the time, right? I mean, especially I think with like the repositories, we do that kind of with, you know, the database implementation. And I think sometimes it's too easy, or it's easy to over engineer it and overly abstract your code out, because like, you know, you write it to an interface and you're like, well, here's my adapter for MySQL or, you know, my repository for MySQL. But it's like, well, really, are you ever going to switch from MySQL?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I've done that a lot with my code nowadays. It's like I used to, there was the whole thing where I was trying to be where it could work for anything, you know, and I was writing code in Laravel a couple of years ago. And, you know, I would say probably a year or two ago, I was like, you know what? I'm tired of writing things for every possibility. What if I decided to go with Slim on my next project? You know, I doubt it. I mean, not that I doubt it. Actually, I think Slim's probably a really great framework, but you know, if I did switch to Slim, I'm probably going to rewrite everything, right?
Right.
or take what I had and, you know, refactor it into working with Slim. Because most of the time, that's what I'm doing anyway. On a new project, I'm taking my, you know, old code, things that I learned, and trying to do it better. So either way, it's a refactor. So I just look at it that way. And I try to code for reusability. I do a lot of just breaking things out into, you know, kind of generic, I guess, technically packages that I can just reuse in multiple projects. And I just think about code that way. So most of the time it'll be Laravel specific, but, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think I think there's a point, I don't know, like a peak you hit or plateau or somewhere along your journey upwards in your development career where you start learning about these things and you start wanting to implement them everywhere, right? You start seeing the patterns everywhere you start learning. You know, like when I learned pipeline, I was like, oh my God, I could do this as a pipeline. I could do this as a pipeline. I'm all about pipelines. But then you have to think, you're like, everything's not that, right? That's not the most appropriate solution. And just like learning about abstractions and using, you know, interfaces, doing an interface for everything is a waste of time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we have interface. We talked about this in one of our previous episodes. But at work, we have an interface for every DAO, you know, that we have at work. But it's like, are we ever going to switch from Doctrine? You know, like that would, it's so ingrained in our application that it would be a huge rewrite. And it's like, we don't need,
see,
don't
like
need
to, yeah. Well, for me, it's like, you should have, you know, no, I don't know your code or, you know, how everything's set up. I've never even used Doctrine, to be honest with you. But when I see an interface, it would be an interface for all of your, you know, data access objects and not just one in particular. So that way they all have some common functionality, and then anything that's outside of that, why would you write an interface for something that's only going to be used in one place and it's unique to a specific DAO, right? So I remember I was working in an app that they had written an interface for every repository that they made, and I was like, well, all of this is very specific to that single repository. It's pointless. Like, and then they were, you know, dependency injecting the repository into things by calling the interface. And I'm like, this just makes things confusing, right? It doesn't make things better. It makes it confusing. And then now I have to go search out the actual, the actual class that's being injected. And, you know, and then you have, why would you create a service provider to inject an interface that is only specific to one repository? It's just right, dependency exactly. Inject the repository, you know, it's, yeah. So it's overthinking. And I mean, it, definitely.
Unless you're building enterprise applications, that even in enterprise applications, you don't have to always use these things, you know, these techniques. Yeah. It's good, but you know, it's a lot of times as engineers, we are overly ambitious. We we're overly optimistic. We think we're going to do all these abstractions because we're going to grow. Well, yeah, it's going to take longer. You may not grow, and then you're just not going to ship your stuff fast enough, right? So if you're a startup or you're doing a personal project, you know, just do what works to ship it. If you're really fluent, you know, and like all of these patterns are second nature, that's great. But I don't think you should go like out of your way to just to make sure you quote unquote do the right thing, you know, because like, I mean, honestly, like right, you know, doing CQRS, right? You know, command query separation. You know, your writes as commands, your reads as, you know, different queries of your repositories. That's all, you know, that's all, you know, nice and stuff, but that's a lot of extra time. You know, why not throw something like Eloquent in there or a model or even just a service or something that just calls this and builds the query for you or does all that. Yeah. You know, it's, you get it done quicker. You can move faster. You know, you actually are going to ship something, because most of the time, at least in the past, for me that I've never, that I've never shipped anything, my own projects, you know, because I don't have deadlines for myself. It's been because I try to, you know, explore and do things the right way or use these patterns. And that's good, you know, because it means I'm learning. But then it also means I'm never actually doing anything. But that's okay, because sometimes, you know, that's a good way to weed out what was really important to me.
Yeah, you actually struck on something. And I think when I write interfaces and things like that, it's all about flexibility and efficiency, right? So to me, I write a lot of stuff that's dynamic. I try to stay away from magic as much as possible now. So I used to want to try everything used to have to be magical when I first started. And now I'm like, I want it to be readable, understandable. But there's a lot of times where you'll write a class that, you know, basically will take something and dynamically figure out what it needs to do next based on what you've given it. So that's where an interface comes in that if you were passing a class that, you know, had that contract, you would know exactly what methods to call without having to know, you know, exactly what that class is. You know, is it a user? Is it a customer? Is it a, you know, post? Whatever it is, it doesn't even need to know that. All it needs to know is that, hey, does it have this method? Call it, you know, or it's going to know that it has a method. It's going to call it. It's going to send it the correct information that it needs, and it's going to continue on. So I think that's kind of like one of those important things to think about is, you know, when you're writing code, is what you're writing making you more efficient as far as your application? And actually, you know, when you're using patterns, you're typically going to be repeating those patterns multiple times, right? So efficiency and flexibility is what I try to achieve when I write stuff. So
yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, I think we're running low on time for today's episode, but
yeah.
I think to kind of sum it up and to kind of close this out, I think the moral of the story is design patterns, they exist. You know, they're good to know, you know, good to learn, good to play with, but they exist to solve problems. You know, don't go looking for a design pattern and say this is cool and then let me find a problem to solve it. You know, you find a problem and then you can go try and find the solution for it. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times I'll look at this repository, I'm like, something feels off with what I'm doing, and then I'll start browsing this through and I'm like, you know, oh, okay, it seems like this might actually be something that could help me, you know, and then I'll try and put that in there and I'm like, you know what, that actually made it better, that makes it work. You know, and then as you start doing that more and more, I think it becomes a little more second nature. But, you know, again, you know, they are tools in your belt. They're not the end all. You know, it's not the double claw hammer that PHP is generally referred to. So just use them appropriately and sparingly. Anything else to add?
Very well said. No, I think that's it for me. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks everybody for listening. This has been episode 6 of Code Talk. With Matt and Steven. We'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening again. And catch us on Twitter, twitter.com/CodeTalkPodcast, or our podcast website you can listen on. It's codetalk.simplecast.fm. See you next time.
Take it easy, everybody.